I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie, who will return tomorrow. And alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig here on In the Loop, you can always join the conversation, 713-572-4610 on the text line. Jeff Luhnow did a great interview with Chandler Rome on his Astros podcast. And I know we've been using the clips here on the station, and we'll get to some. There's a lot of interesting sound bites to get to, so we'll just play some and react. You can go find the podcast, the full interview, if you haven't already. It's about an hour long, and all of it is interesting. Yeah. This is the first real interview for him that doesn't have to deal with his firing and the scandal and all that, where he could just like sit down and talk, look back on his time in Houston, talk about his career, talk about baseball, which provided some interesting stuff. So let's just dive right in. I mean, we could start, Figgy, with the first cut, number one there, where, you know, we have the trade deadline coming up, and we're talking about what the Astros need to do at this trade deadline. Well, Jeff provided his perspective on what a trade deadline is like as a GM, and then I think he also talks about the Yordan deal in this, but mm-hmm. Here was Jeff talking about trade deadlines.
That's the year where, really, even though you said we were buyers from 2015 on, 2016,
right,
we were sellers, and the Fields for Alvarez turned out to be one of the best investments we ever made, giving up a proven reliever for a young man. But I think that's the key, is to understand what you think your chances are. And also in 2017, it wasn't so much, are we going to make the playoffs or not? It was, are we going to win the World Series? And that, I mean, it was pretty clear to me we had a World Series caliber team. And so every move we looked at it in the context of how much will that player improve our chances of winning a World Series?
Okay, so where are they now? Is the first thing that I thought about. But as we go through these, you're gonna realize just, you know, how much Jeff Luhnow did, not just in early on in 2013, 14, whatever, to building this squad, but as it was happening, the real time. And they're talking clearly about Verlander, you know, in 2017 and making that late deadline deal and all that down to the last minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, without that, you know, who knows what they could have done or would have done, you know, without that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are they now? I would say they're in need of adding some pieces at this trade deadline.
Yeah.
And elevating themselves to be able to go win a World Series. This next cut, just number two, is one of the more interesting ones to me, because I think there is some unmentioned context to this, and it's in regards to the Fires trade with Carlos Gomez as well. You'll hear the audio here from Jeff, who reflects on that deal, but what you won't hear is maybe the facial expressions as they talk about this trade. And you probably can figure out what I'm or what they're alluding to. If not, I'll fill that in after we hear. But here is Jeff talking about that trade for Gomez and Fires.
How much do you reflect on that trade, that the trade, the Carlos Gomez, Mike Fires trade for Hader and Brett Phillips, and who else was in there? Domingo Santana.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, we traded a lot of value. We knew we were trading a lot of value. I think we didn't properly evaluate Carlos Gomez. I mean, if you look at what he did prior to us trading for him, he was reaching status of being a superstar and was athletic and, you know, filled a lot of needs for us. You know, had a nice home run in the wild card game, but that didn't make up for the four players we sent away. And Fires had, you know, Fires was really good for us at certain times, for sure. He was our most consistent pitcher, I think, in 2016. But yeah, I mean, that one, if I could have that one back, that would be, that would be probably number one on my list of trades I'd want back.
Why is that?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You can hear a little giggle there from, I think it was Chandler, and they were smiling as they were talking about it. So that's what I was going to say. Do you think it's just simply because Fires became the whistleblower later
yes.
on?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, of course they ain't had nothing to do with it.
Of course.
Like, oh man, why did I bring this guy
back? He was our best pitcher for a while, but oh boy.
Yeah. Why did I have to go bring this guy in the clubhouse?
Talk about how things might have changed.
Seriously. He might still be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gomez, Carlos Gomez did not pan out in Houston. He was not the same player that he was in Milwaukee when they got him. But yeah, I thought that might have been the most interesting because you think about that butterfly effect or domino effect, and if you don't make that trade, who knows what would have happened? How baseball would could be different in the years since if we don't get that exposure and he doesn't get fired, and who knows? I mean, everything could be different in the years since just because of Mike Fiers and bringing him in. So yeah, that's the one that maybe he's as he said he kind of maybe regrets doing. Cut three.
Go ahead.
Oh no!
I want to do a little bit of a backdrop here, little backstory with Jeff Luhnow. He's so good; he's the best that there ever was in Houston in any sport in terms of a general manager. But you do have to realize Jeff Luhnow was the guy who basically orchestrated everything that ultimately led to all the controversy, all the scandal, all that. So as much as you, he's so appreciated. The guys this morning were talking about, you know, would you take him back? And the polling, the informal polling was very much, oh, absolutely. I'm going to tell you, I think I would, but I'm not 100% sure because everything he says, as good as he is, he tries to make himself look better and tries to put a twist on it that makes him look somehow innocent. And that's the issue that I had.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I get that. By the way, I know in general, I think I would be willing to take him back, but I know in that conversation earlier, I don't know if they were talking about like right today, but I would tell you, like, I think Dana Brown's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I would be happy with the current situation. Now, if there was an opening down the road, yeah, sure. Hypothetically, theoretically, sure.
Yeah.
Because he did a good enough job. But I do agree with your point and get where you're coming from. This next cut, so there is a story, I don't know, a few months ago about Eric Hosmer and Dayton Moore, the GM for the Royals, talking about how they almost traded for Jose Altuve. So they had to ask Jeff about that and say, like, hey, was this true? Did you almost trade Altuve to the Royals in 2013? Cut three. This is Jeff talking about the potential Altuve deal in 2013.
He's not lying. Dayton is a very honest, high integrity guy. We did have a conversation about it. It didn't go very far. At the time, we weren't looking to trade Jose Altuve. We were looking to acquire Eric Hosmer at the time. And, Kansas City was on the rise. And we tried everything. We didn't have a lot of players that would bring you an Eric Hosmer.
Correct.
So at the end of the day, we're like, well, is he going to trade him or not? Let's just throw our best guy out there, our best young guy, and see if he'll even react. It was not an official trade offer. It was one of those, hey, would you consider it? And it was a very short conversation, so it didn't go anywhere. But also, yeah, we all have to remember Jose Altuve at that time was not what Jose Altuve became. And obviously, we had a lot of confidence in him. We re-signed him to two extensions while I was there. He's been the franchise player ever since.
I believe all of that, though. I do. I mean, they were trying to, they were trying to ultimately get to where they got. And Altuve he wasn't that guy quite yet. Yeah, I buy that.
No. Yeah, that was, I think, his second full season. Mm-hmm. And as he said, it was kind of more of just like a throw-in to see what if the Royals would be willing to move Hosmer at all and not necessarily like truly negotiating a deal. Mm-hmm. Just, this wouldn't work. Okay, what about Altuve? And see if that could get anywhere. But again, go back to that whole butterfly effect or domino effect. Imagine if they did pull off that trade, how different things would most likely be in the past decade for the Astros.
And for Kansas City.
It's true.
That was a good squad.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, they got their one World Series. And Hosmer is a good player, but he's been retired for a couple years at this point, and Altuve's still swinging a pretty good bat. Mm-hmm. So he was solid, but he's no Altuve. Really could have changed the future over the past decade of both those franchises. That would have been something. Good thing they held on to him, and Altuve's still here. Let's skip ahead. Cut number seven, Figgy, because I think this is interesting as well. We always wonder about ownership for all teams, but even for the Astros, and especially when we talk about like this, the medical stuff going on right now, and like how does this not drive you nuts? How do you not want to try to change something?
Yeah.
Well, here was Jeff talking about at least his time here in Houston, how hands-on the ownership was with his day-to-day role as a GM.
The trade that he probably got most involved in sort of emotionally was the Greinke trade. Because we were on the fence about the Greinke trade. And there were other options that we were considering. But Jim did seem to want that player on our team and wanted the sort of sex appeal of Greinke and all of that. And so, you know, would we have made the trade without Jim's pushing us? I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I mean, I think he was definitely excited about it. And, you know, every time the trade would die, which trades die a lot, and that one died like four times in the 24 hours before we did it. You know, he would say, well, what about, you know, if we took on a little more of a salary? And I'd say, okay, well, in that case, yeah, I mean, sure, we'll make another run at it. So that was one where he was involved.
That's very enlightening, isn't it? Especially now, you know how much more involved he is. Because keep in mind, his trust for Jeff Luhnow was very deep. Jim Crane's. You know, Luhnow's the one that convinced him about, you know, losing and then winning and building these squads and all that. He trusted Luhnow. But to step in there, it makes you wonder about how much more did he step in, you know, after it got good to him, so to speak, mm-hmm. You know?
I also like the line. I know they talked about this morning, but the sex appeal with Zach Greinke. I don't think they're talking about actual sex appeal. It's
the first thing you think of,
anyway. Yeah, right. But more so of, like, from a baseball perspective, yeah. That appeal of adding him to mm-hmm. a rotation into a roster, not actual, like, physical looks. But maybe I'm mistaken. I don't yeah. know. Maybe Jim
maybe
Crane.
Maybe he thought he was kind of hot.
Yeah, maybe right. Jim Crane got excited. Like, hey, we could bring in more female fans with exactly. Greinke on the mound every 5 days. Who knows? Cut number 12. Talking about Jeff and his potential future. Will we ever see Jeff Luhnow back in Major League Baseball? There's two clips of him talking about this. But this first one, cut number 12, is about getting the itch. Does he ever get the itch to come back? He's right now working in professional soccer, still based here in Houston. He goes to, as I understand, Rockets and Texans games, but hasn't felt comfortable returning to an Astros game. Anyways, does he get the itch to go back to baseball? Here's what Jeff said.
I don't think a lot about coming back to baseball, but having this conversation with you guys and thinking about all this history and things that I did well and things that I didn't do well, and kind of perspective around it, you know, it certainly would be fun and interesting to go back into baseball. I know that my teams and my investors and my partners would probably not like that a lot at this point.
He's not going to come back to baseball, not because of his choice. This is where it all kind of, where I said, you know, he makes himself look good a yeah. lot of times because the guy's got a dirty streak. You know, we know that. You know, we know that for a fact. They've admitted to it. But he tries to make himself look good. As great as he was, he's been ostracized from baseball. I mean, flat out. He's doing quite well. He's got this, as he mentioned there, you know, this soccer commitment that he has and all that. Are you telling me that one of the best general managers in all of baseball wouldn't come back if he could?
Well, that takes me to this next clip, and yeah. we'll leave it with this one. There's so much audio to get to, but we'll play just this last one. Sounds like you won't be buying what he's selling here. This was Jeff talking about if he's heard from MLB teams during his time away. Cut 13.
I've had, I'm not going to tell you who, but I've had two or three owners contact me and ask me if I was interested. In either a role as GM or another role, maybe as a different role where I'd oversee the sporting operation. And in all cases, I said no, because at the time I was raising money and starting my company. But you know, I don't think I'm blackballed from baseball like some people think. And I know I would do a good job. I mean, I know that for a fact.
Oh, good.
Cocky, man.
He's so cocky, and he has been blackballed. I mean, what else could it be? Baseball owners will do anything to win. They'll do anything to win, but this is beyond the pale. You know, this is beyond something that they could even, you know, sort of sell, you know?
You don't think we'll ever see him in Major League Baseball again?
Not for a long time, if ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then you get to a certain point where, like, almost too much time passes that almost out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
like, yeah, you had a great run, but that was 15 years ago now at this point, or whenever it might be, mm-hmm. whenever we get to that day where like, okay, we're cool. We've moved past the scandal. It's fine with you getting back into the game, but the game's almost passed you by at this point. It's mm-hmm. been that long. So we'll see if that window ever opens itself for Jeff, if truly teams are interested. You can go find the full conversation on Chandler Rome's Astros podcast with Jeff Luhnow. It's like an hour long, a lot of interesting stuff. Talks about specific trades, talks about specific players from his tenure. So if you're an Astros fan, I recommend checking it out later on, and you probably eat up a lot of good insight from his time here. When we come back, it's that time of day where we have to get some stuff off of our chest. Time for Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We'll do it next in the Loop.